My local internet cafe was not much of a sight to behold. I think that's what may have contributed to it shutting down for a couple months back in June. The exterior was reminiscent of an abandoned shack with its dilapidated appearance and broken windows. However, after they cleaned up the inside, I definitely saw some improvement. Sparkly, clean tile floors and beautiful mahogany countertops filled the cafe with a sense of ease and elegance. I always got plenty of work done, so the shop's grungy look never bothered me much. But it was nice to have a change of scenery once the cleanup was done. I was probably the only regular at the cafe, venturing in on almost a daily basis. Plenty of other folks cycling in and out, nary a familiar face would show up. This was fine, since I only went through there to edit my vlogs and website on occasion. Striking up a conversation with someone recognizable was not on the agenda, ever. I was there for some much-needed peace and quiet, not small talk. Though I had Wi-Fi at home, the thin walls did little to muffle my father's drunken ramblings. The cafe was my escape from the unwanted noise. I strolled in on a Sunday morning, just 5 days after the grand reopening. I was feeling pretty groggy, still recovering from a cold that I caught during the week. The humid August air didn't help matters, and because of this, I decided to grab a coffee before getting my things set up. I walked across the glimmering, newly replaced floors and heard them squeak under my sneakers. I laughed a little to myself, almost tempted to start turning in place, just to hear the sound a few more times. Nope, told myself. Grow up. I ordered my coffee and I took a look around the room while I waited for it. I took a mental note of how many faces were in the cafe with me. I was surely going to grab a quiet little table in the corner away from these strangers. Small iced regular. The barista held up my coffee and straw. Thanks, I said plainly. I threw down a couple of quarters as a tip and strolled over to the table that I wanted. I spent the next few hours clipping and splicing my videos from the days previous. I was doing a week-long series about the gym that I go to. Basically, workout tips and some comedy bits with my buddy Jake, who works the front desk. I found myself laughing out loud over a protein shake skit that we had done. And I may have drawn some attention in my little corner of the room. Though the staring eventually subsided, I felt it best for me to leave. As I had been there for much longer than usual, I reached down and unplugged my laptop charger, and that's when my hand brushed up against something. Confused, I took a look under the table to investigate. A 16-inch black bag sat just beyond where my feet were settled. It had pockets and a shoulder strap, as well as an abundance of dust coating the leather. Holy crap, I thought to myself. Someone must have left their laptop behind or something. At first, I was going to do the right thing. I very easily could have just handed it to the barista and called it a day. I guess maybe that would have been the smart thing to do. However, a mixture of curiosity and stupidity came over me, keeping me from being honest. Instead, after packing up my own things, I swung the mystery bag over my shoulder and swiftly exited the cafe. Stupid. I pulled into my driveway at about noon, the hot summer sun beaming down on my front lawn. My father was doing his usual half-assed inspection of the plants in the garden, beer can in hand. I tried to get into the house without a word to him, but he stopped me just as I opened the storm door. Hey, why are you in such a hurry? He asked, taking a swig from his drink. Dad, I don't have time. Important website business.
Yeah, well, he slurred. Don't stop on my account.
Which just stopped me, I thought to myself. I pushed through the front door, passing my sleeping mom on the couch, and darted upstairs to my room. Slam! Shut my door hard behind me, and locked it immediately. I tossed my belongings and newly found goods onto my bed, kicked my shoes clear across the room, and I was excited to dig into this lucky haul. Carefully and slowly, I unzipped the top of the bag and pulled it open. I gasped a little to myself. Despite the appearance of the bag, the contents were no joke. A shiny, brand-new-looking laptop was nestled nicely inside. I pulled it out and observed it with awe. It was certainly nicer than my basic 500-gig HP from a big-box store. I couldn't believe what I was holding. I flipped it open, I began feeling the keys and monitor. It was in mint condition. I had to be the luckiest guy in the world. Everything was there, including a charger, a wireless mouse. I even found a bag of screen wipes at the bottom. I also dug into the pockets, curious as to what treasures I might find in there. What I found was a cell phone. It was nothing special, just some cheap Android phone. It was still powered on. It had no screen lock on it. Exploring it further, I noticed there was no text and only one recent call to an out-of-state number. Being into electronics, I went into the settings to see what kind of operating system it had. It was vastly out of date on software, still set in some variation of Lollipop OS. That's alright, I thought. I could still flip it for a quick $10 or so. I placed it on the bed next to the laptop and sat for a moment, trying to take in what I had in front of me. This was such a great find, but I needed to power on the laptop and figure out what I was working with. To my excitement, there was no login screen. I was in immediately after booting it up. I was never as into laptops as I was phones, but I could tell right away I wasn't working with your standard stock operating system. This thing resembled more of a modded setup than I had seen kids working with back in high school, but I couldn't name it off the top of my head. Luckily, it was simple enough to navigate. I set it up with my Wi-Fi and dived right into the file storage to get some idea of whose computer I had. I was disappointed for just a few moments, but after clicking around a bit, I did find a folder labeled A. Inside was one JPEG titled One by One. Intrigued, my stomach did a little flip as I opened the image. I was puzzled by what I found. It was a screenshot of a website. It looked like a post in some forum from some user named Anon and On and Four. With nothing but phone numbers listed and zero replies. Underneath the list was a tagline, "You know who you are." Scanning the image for answers, I noticed the address bar for the site. It seemed to be a nonsense string of characters followed by a .onion extension. Onion. Isn't that a parody news site or something? I wasn't so sure, but I decided to dig a little deeper. I clicked on the X at the top, taking me back to the desktop, and that's when I noticed another folder. This one was labeled Pix, which stirred up some more thrills in my bones. Yes! I cheered to myself. This would more than likely reveal the owner's identity. I became disappointed as I clicked through the pictures. There was no human life, just shots of different places and scenery. This included a dark image of a barbershop, a path in the woods somewhere, and even someone's garage. What really caught my eye was the last pic. It was the cafe. My stomach started doing acrobatics now, my heart racing. Why was there random pictures in this thing? Why was there a screenshot on a message board with a list of phone numbers? The files just weren't adding up for me. But I hatched a half-baked plan. I didn't know if it was going to end the mystery, but I couldn't help but try. I pulled up the pic with the phone numbers, grabbed the Android phone, and dialed the first number at the top of the list. After only two rings, I was greeted with silence. Strange, I thought. But I pressed on. I dialed the next number on the list. This time, it rang five times before I got a generic inbox greeting with a phone number listed. Interesting. But I hung up before I heard the beep. I grew bored of dialing the random numbers. I decided to take a break and put the laptop and cell phone away for a little while. I knew I'd come back to it later. As the evening rolled around, I waited for my parents to go to bed and then fixed myself up a snack. This was pretty much a nightly routine of mine. I clicked on the TV, as I usually did, and settled on the first news station that I scrolled to. And that's when things took a turn for the weird. A breaking news story was displayed on the screen. One from the next town over. Young barber, age 25, found murdered at work. Damn, I shook my head. That sucks. A female news reporter was on the scene, outside of the barbershop where it took place. Wait a second. I couldn't believe my eyes. That barbershop, it was the same one from the picture in the laptop, I was sure of it. I put my plate down on the coffee table and raced upstairs to grab the computer. I booted it up, clicked on the folder of pictures, and the photo in question. I ran back downstairs with the laptop I had in hand and held it up to the TV screen. Yeah, it was definitely the same barbershop. What were the chances of that? I was shaking my head in amazement. I finished watching the news story and began feeling tired. I was about ready for bed, so I grabbed the remote. The news story just after grabbed my attention before I could hit the power button. Called Murder in Local Forest. This one was also nearby, just over the bridge in the opposite direction. This world's terrible, I thought. I hadn't seen two stories like that back to back in a long time. That's when it hit me. I scrolled over to the picture of the woods in the same folder. and I waited to see if the news story included the location of the homicide in the video. Though I didn't get anything solid to compare it to, I was definitely getting weird vibes. First a barbershop, now a forest. I had to be grasping at straws though, right? I decided it was bedtime. I had a pretty restless night of sleep, tossing and turning and kicking my covers to the foot of my bed. It was hot and humid, and I kept waking up with the sweats. Needless to say, I was in dire need of coffee the next morning. I was probably smart to leave the strange laptop at home. Grabbing my own equipment as I headed out the door, I drove rather quickly to the cafe, eyelids still heavy. Got my regular coffee, sat down at my favorite booth in the corner. Only one other person resided in the building, apart from the barista at work. It was nice and quiet. It felt peaceful. A good contrast from my evening snack and sweaty night of interrupted rest. Still, my mind couldn't help but wander. The web address from the screenshot I found came rolling into the forefront of my thoughts. What was that onion domain all about? Why did the web address make no sense? It was something like code influx with random numbers and symbols after that. It was meaningless to me. I decided to do some research. I couldn't recall the exact website, but I remembered the .onion extension, so I started from there. And I was immediately blown away. Apparently, what it pertains to is web addresses not reachable on normal servers. It takes you through something called Tor. It's used for some pretty shady activity. I guess it involved what's called the dark web. I had heard a little about this before. I was beginning to feel sick. The websites listed on the wiki were pretty revolting, to say the least. Nothing I would ever want to be involved in. The worst part? I was beginning to think the laptop I found was used solely to access this part of the internet. I couldn't bear the thought of being in possession of it any longer. I had to do something. I stormed out of the cafe, ready to spring into action, when I was stopped by a tap on my leg. I looked down to see a homeless-looking man in black tattered leather jacket sitting up against the front of the building. His face looked rough, complete with a badly shaven beard and cracked lips. It looked miserable. He held out a small plastic cup, looking up at me and those desperate eyes.
Spare change, sir.
I'm in a hurry, dude, and I don't carry cash.
Please.
He begged some more. Reached out, grabbed my pant leg. No! Get away from me! I kicked his hand away. The guy looked upset. His eyes were actually watering a little bit, and I felt bad, but damn, don't grab me. And that's when the guy did the strangest thing. He took out a phone and started taking pictures of me. What are you gonna do now? I asked, confused as hell. He didn't answer. All I could do about it was run to my car and leave as fast as possible. What's that guy's deal? I called a friend of mine, Peter, on the way home. I knew he'd have some insight on the whole thing. I was hoping I could bring him to my house and have him wipe the computer clean. Then I could sell it to a random Yahoo and be done with the whole misadventure. Once I picked up my friend, I sped back to my house and showed him what I found in the cafe. He was blown away. This thing is lethal, he laughed. It looks pretty customized, honestly. Yeah, I noticed that. But take a look at this. I clicked through the photos, showing him the ones that I compared with the news stories. Do you think this laptop has some sort of connection with the murders? I don't know, man, but I think there's something fishy going on. He shrugged and took over the mouse for a moment. Are the pictures of the phone numbers? They're somewhere in the file storage. Yeah, click there and bingo. Peter stared intently at the list and address bar on the screenshot. He also checked the file description and saw that the screenshot originated from the laptop, so it was taken from within the device. My hairs were out of tension, all up and down my skin. So you tested these numbers out? Yeah, with his phone. I handed him the cell phone that came in the bag with the laptop. He scanned through it rapidly. Definitely a track phone. Someone bought it as a burner, probably for some kind of business task. Shall we try another phone number? I nodded. I pointed to one just below the phone number I tested out. He dialed it in and threw it on a speaker. It rang. And rang.
and rang. It didn't stop ringing, so we hung up after the 8th ring. Peter looked at the phone funny, then up at me.
I honestly don't know what's up with all this.
Do you want me to just factory reset everything?
Yeah. I mean, is that going to take care of my problem?
Not sure. But I think I'd like to have some fun with this before we call it a day.
I gave him a look. A glance of disappointment. I didn't think that would be our best interest. I don't think we should be messing with this dude.
Oh, come on! What could go wrong? You could even film it.
This could go viral.
Well, I'm not gonna vlog me hanging around with a stolen laptop. Just do what you gotta do with it and let's move on.
Peter smirked, looked at the screen again, and then dialed another phone number from the list. Again, we got nothing. This time, just another generic voicemail greeting. He continued on to the next phone number, and halfway through dialing, he stopped.
His eyes were scanning the screen.
His face was now white as a ghost.
What? Why'd you stop? You okay?
This is my phone number. My heart pang like a club to a gong.
That can't be.
I scooted over next to Peter and observed the screen. He was right, and just to be sure, he finished dialing and hit send. He put the phone up to his ear and he waited. And just as he suspected, his pocket flip up, his ringtone sang away. We both looked at each other in shock.
Dude, my hands were shaking, my mouth was agape so far, I think my jaw was just brushing my bedsheets.
How?
That's all Peter could muster up from his racing thoughts.
It's unreal, I don't like this at all, just wipe the hard drive, let's be done with it.
Wait! Shouted, while looking at the screen again. My heart sank some more, I had a feeling about what he was about to say.
Come on, don't tell me.
He didn't say a word. All he did was start frantically dialing another number, and that's when I felt it. My pocket was now vibrating. I gulped so loud that I flinched. I reached down and pulled out my phone and answered. I held it up to my ear.
Peter? I said through the receiver, looking at my visibly shaken friend across from me.
This is messed up,
he replied through the burner phone. I ended up driving Peter home shortly after. He had handed the phone over to me and told me that he wanted to leave and take everything in it. He left the laptop with me and told me that he'd rather not mess with it. We decided to meet up at the cafe and drop it back off right in the morning. We'd wake up early and hopefully be the first ones in. However, I missed my alarm. Apparently, I also missed 10 calls from Peter. I opened up my messages and noticed the 4 texts he sent.
Damn. I had to get going fast. I had already packed up everything the night before, so all I had to do was really throw on a t-shirt and shorts and head to the cafe. I turned the corner where the cafe was, and I had to hit the brakes pretty quick. What I saw on the road was nothing but cops and ambulances. There were roadblocks set up on either side of the ambulances. The cafe was barricaded.
What in the...
I was thinking out loud. Now, this was pretty crazy. There were people with their hands on their faces, looking scared and sad. I pulled over into the grocery store parking lot across the street and then walked over to the scene to get a closer look. I assumed Peter was doing the same thing. I ended up in a crowd of onlookers next door, looking at the scene before us. There was blood spattered on the front doors of the cafe. Some papers, along with other belongings strewn all about, more blood covering the ground. Jesus, this was a damn massacre. I could hear the people beside me whispering to each other about what was going on.
They're talking about a possible serial killer,
one woman said to her friend.
The kid was about to walk in, suddenly bullets came in from nowhere. Nobody saw or fired the shots.
A guy filled his wife in about what he witnessed. I was too curious to just crane my neck from back here. I needed to get a closer look. I peered over at the cops who were busy questioning a barista about the ambulance. I crept past the barricade carefully. I slipped past a couple of other baristas and made my way to a second ambulance by another barricade. The stretcher was in full view now, but I couldn't tell who was in it. I decided to kneel down beside the ambulance and
hopefully catch some conversation between the EMTs, I took out my phone and started recording.
Yeah, we lost him.
We lost him. He wasn't hanging in there much. I was hoping.
Jan's not your fault. Save the girl. Didn't save them all, you know.
I wish I could. I heard him talking before we let him get in, you know? Hoping his name was Peter.
My hand jumped over my mouth as I let out the weirdest sound. It was a gasp combined with a grunt of disbelief.
Couldn't be.
Yeah, the other EMT said.
You have his information already. Guess he was an IT guy for a local business. Smart kid, early 20s.
I stumbled back a bit on my heels, dropping my phone in the process. I bumped into something solid behind me and stood up quickly. I turned around and saw that same homeless guy from the other day. My face was still contorted from the information I just received from eavesdropping. The guy was just staring at me, stoic. He didn't even react to me bumping into him. He was glaring at me from behind, an unchanging expression. I couldn't help it. I booked it across the street to my car. I could feel tears forming in my ducts, eyes twitching in the wind from my open driver's side window.
Why did I have to wake up so late?
Maybe Peter would have been spared from whatever this was, a drive-by, an assassination of some kind. My head was dizzy, my heart was hurting, but I was beginning to feel some connection. Pictures on the computer, the phone numbers, the murders, everything. I was getting an idea as to what it was. Stuff about the dark web. Strange laptop, the phone number. I arrived home, heart sick as all hell. My friend was murdered today. I couldn't stop it. Maybe if I had never grabbed the computer from the cafe, he'd still be alive. Maybe if I hadn't been so stupid, I could have handled this whole thing differently. He wouldn't be dead right now. And to top it off, I realized I left my phone at the bloody scene. I groaned and threw my head back in the driver's seat. Now what? My phone's near some cops. EMTs, maybe if I call it, they'll believe I dropped it before they even got there, and I wasn't in trouble. I reached back, I grabbed the burner phone out of the bag and started to dial my phone number when I suddenly had a thought. If the phone numbers we dial somehow had something to do with the murders, that must mean... I grabbed the laptop out of the bag. My heart racing, my body profusely sweating in fear. The whole thing was unreal. The fact that I was right in the middle of it was unreal. I clicked on the folder of the pictures of scenery from earlier, and again my eyes scrolled across the picture of the barbershop, then the forest. Finally, my eyes got to the picture of the cafe. Yeah, the phone numbers and these locations have to somehow be tied together, but I didn't know how. Why was this happening? I was about to leave the folder, but then a small thumbnail at the end of the list caught my eye. I hovered the cursor over it and opened it up. Some kind of cloud service, the image was revealed. My jaw dropped in utter horror. A picture of my house. I was looking at a picture of my front yard and my home. I hadn't noticed this before. Why hadn't I noticed this? Over in the top corner was a link. One that opened up the full cloud folder from some email made up by gibberish characters. This folder contained more pictures. Pictures that were very different from the others. No way! I shouted out loud, face contorted in anger and fear all at once. They were pictures of me. Pictures of me looking directly at the camera. Others of my car, last one of me sneaking into the crime scene of the cafe. Guy. A homeless looking guy from the other day and behind the ambulance. I have his laptop. He was watching me. How did he tie into the murders? Silent tirade was interrupted by the sudden sound of jingling to my right. The phone was ringing in my passenger side seat. I picked it up and peered at the phone number. I couldn't handle this anymore. I couldn't take it. It was my own phone. Grudgingly, I decided to swipe up and answer the call. Who is this?
Spare change. Spare change, sir.